Howdy-do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. This is Friday, December 7th, 2018. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. It's good to be here. It's Friday.
Brian, straight chilling. And also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday.
And a happy Friday to you. Happy Friday to all our listeners as well. And Andrew, I actually want to start with you, because we are going to talk a little bit about privacy. We're going to close out Privacy Week strong with two stories. We have a couple to look at. The first of which is one that...
Be the robot attacking with bear spray. Be the robot attacking with bear spray. Is that it? Is that it?
Sorry, Brian. Not today. If we have time at the end, though, we will talk about robot attack via bear spray. The first one I want to talk about is there was a law passed in Australia that Apple and other tech companies were terribly against. Andrew, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so this very concerning law is just got passed in Australia, although I don't think it's fully passed. I mean, they tried to rush the law through, but I think there still might be some time for opposition.
Okay.
But basically, Australia wants companies to provide a way to get around end-to-end encryption in messages. I'm not sure if it's a full backdoor like Apple was battling the FBI over. Mm-hmm. It might just be concerning messages, but it would be dangerous.
You're right. The FBI was actually looking into a backdoor in iOS. And what Britain has been really thinking, really been working towards, and Australia too, is a backdoor into encrypted messaging systems like WhatsApp, iMessage, and a few others that are at the Telegram that are encrypted end to end.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it doesn't really, like, I don't know about the other companies, but with Apple, now that they have messages in the cloud, I was wondering if they even need this backdoor, because Apple can provide access to iCloud backups to law enforcement.
Apple can supply access to iCloud backups to law enforcement, but your messages are still encrypted end to end. Messages are still it's end to end user encryption. It's stored. I mean, like, so, like, basically, Apple could give the encrypted file to someone.
Mm-hmm. But good luck with that.
Right. You know, but it might have, you know, the FBI could, here in the States, the FBI could, or the police could get access to, you know, emails or, you know, photographs, things like that. But your iMessages are still encrypted and done.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, that helps a little bit, at least for now.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and the issue here to me, I get apoplectic, apparently. This is a very
Brian's
very
watch is about to warn him about his heart rate right now.
This is probably the case. This is an extremely important issue. The point is not to keep the cops out of encrypted communications when they have legal access to them, i.e. a warrant or whatever. The point is, we cannot keep both the police, we cannot keep the bad guys out and let the good guys in. Mm-hmm. That's not possible.
Right. Because if anybody can get in, works. Anybody can get in.
Yeah. Backdoor open to anyone is open to all, which is why Apple led the charge with end-to-end encryption. Mm-hmm. On iMessages.
Mm-hmm. And that's...
And these governmental efforts are wrong and misguided and are ultimately harmful to everybody. Our own intelligence services long ago came to the conclusion and understanding that while encryption makes their jobs harder, mm-hmm. it makes the United States stronger. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is one thing. If you have, I know 1Password does this. If you lose access to your master password, if you forget it, 1Password has no way to reset that. Yeah, AgileBits has no way to do it because
you own the keys with your AgileBits. Right,
you are the only encryption person. And the reason they do that, and like, because occasionally like somebody will push back and say, you know, well, why can't you reset it? Or how come there's not a way? And the way is because the reason is the exact same thing you described, Brian, because if anyone could get in, then anyone can get in. And that's the thing that Apple's been against. And that's what this argument tends to be about. And people who want in are framing it as, you know, we need to do it for because we're the good guys. But the problem is not everybody who's a good guy is going to have access to that key. And it's not going to take long for that to happen, especially now. So no. That's
well, it's not necessarily, I mean, like, it's not so much that other people will have access to the key. It's that other people could have access to the key.
Well, it's really just a question of time, which is why I say will.
It is just a question of time. And the myriad of bad actors who might want that include oppressive regimes against their own people. Mm-hmm. It includes foreign adversarial governments. It actually sometimes mm-hmm. includes friendly
yeah.
foreign governments. And it also includes criminal enterprises, including organized crime, who would very, very much like to get access it to all your mm-hmm. encrypted information because they can probably find a way to profit from it.
Right. All the way, you know, that.
I love Australia.
Phone numbers
I
come.
I love Australia. But in this case, screw Australia.
But come on, Australia. Yeah. And that's part of the frustration, I think, is that, you know, it's framed as like it's only for the good guys, but that's never how it ends up. And so that's part of why I think it gets a little frustrating with the law. On the flip side of that, we have a guide, I believe, Andrew, that you talked about from Wired, a guide to data breaches.
Mm-hmm.
So this is publicly pointing out all the ways in, not trying to keep stuff secret. I'm going to go as far as calling it a little bit of name and shame because most of it's kind of embarrassing. So tell us a little bit about what you found from this guide.
Yeah, so it's a very useful guide. It has, like, they talk about a history of some of the data breaches we've seen so far, like Equifax, Marriott, Starwood, Quora. And they talk a little bit about, you know, how you can defend yourself. They stress how important it is to keep your information safe, especially things like your social security number.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend everyone should give it a read.
Yeah, and it's one of the nice things about this guide is it's not just here they all are, isn't it terrible? It does give you some tips about what sort of things you can do to make sure that when this happens again, that you are at least less affected by it sometimes. So that was one thing I liked about this is that you do see a lot of just lists of like, here's all the companies that screwed you this year. And this is a little bit more proactive in like, here's all the places, but at the same time, here are some ways to make sure when we do this next December that maybe you don't end up being as big a part of some of those. So I liked that aspect of it. So, Brian, how many new credit cards have you had to get this year?
Not many, to be honest.
Brian should use privacy.com.
Yeah, not a sponsor, but yeah, it helps a lot. We talked about that yesterday for people who are curious. Privacy.com is a really interesting service that sounds cool. You should check it out. I know that sounded very sponsory, but I do want to talk about actual sponsors today. We do have a couple, and the first one is OpsGenie, and OpsGenie is from Atlassian, and the point of OpsGenie is to make sure that your dev team and your ops teams, whoever they are, have ways to be notified about unplanned service disruptions and ways to manage planned service disruptions. And they have lots of ways to help people respond. And one of the best things about them is that they have notifications available, so you can make sure the right people get notified about stuff when it's going well or when it's going poorly, depending on whether it was a planned or an unplanned outage. And there's loads of integrations with tools like New Relic and Jira and lots more. And you can get all of them set up and ready to go. If you head over to opsgenie.com, that's OPSGENIE.com, you can sign up today for a free company account and you can add up to 5 team members. Now, our other sponsor today is Jamf Now. And Jamf Now helps you set up, manage, and protect Apple devices. So iPhones, iPads, iMacs, any other sort of Apple hardware that you've got, you can set it up within Jamf Now, and you can manage all of that information. You'll have all of it there in front of you at a glance, what version of operating system it has, what model it is. You can then manage some of the settings on that device. You can make it so that that person who is continually deleting their account and stops getting email on their phone isn't able to do that anymore. You can also just set it up so that you can push the email settings again. You know, if it turns out that's a thing that they're doing, you can push settings out. You can manage lots of different pieces of the operating system to make sure that the experience is good for everybody. And maybe you can get a few less phone calls from some members of your family when they inadvertently get something wrong. 3 devices on Jamf Now are supported free forever, and you can add additional devices at just $2 a month. Head over to the Jamf website at jamf.com/TDO and sign up for your free account today. Now, our other topic today is not bear spray robot attack. Sorry, Brian. but maybe we'll get there.
Boo.
Well, I want to talk about the Series 4 Apple Watch, because yesterday, part of the watchOS update that came out gave you and I and our Series 4 Apple Watches the ECG app that we can set up and run. And for me, the coolest thing about the ECG is how it's done. So once you've set the app up, and we'll have a link in the show notes to an article that I wrote that walks you through that. You just sort of sit still and put your hands on the table or rest your hands in your lap, and you put your finger on the digital crown, and some sort of magic in the digital crown measures your heart rate and then tells you if you have sinus rhythm or if it's a little high or if it's a little low or if it's looking like AFib. And I think it's really interesting how they've managed to monitor this. Now, you've tried it, Brian.
Yeah, well, spoiler, tell me which one's good.
Sinus rhythm.
Woohoo! I just did one. I have a sinus rhythm, which I'm going to be honest is a little surprising. And and I will also be honest, my big takeaway is that my Apple Watch says that I can continue to lead a sedentary life working all day and sitting at my computer and not getting any exercise. That's what I'm getting out of this.
Well, I'm going to point out that your watch does tell you at 10 to every hour that you really ought to get up and walk around.
Yes, it does do that too. Right. Yeah, but that's super cool. I just, it is easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
Shockingly easy to do and is insanely cool.
I thought it was really nifty when I walked through the setup process. I liked how upfront it was about everything. So it does tell you more than once that your Apple Watch will not know if you're having a heart attack and tell you that, which I thought was kind of cool. And that I thought it was nice that they were very upfront about, like, here's what we can tell you. This isn't what that means. And, like, you know, if you're having trouble, you really still should see a doctor. And one of the things I like at the end of the ECG, it says, if you're not feeling well, like, add some symptoms. So if you're, you know, if you feel sort of funny or dizzy or something in a way, like, you can add information about, like, when I took this one, you know, it's because I was having, like, this particular issue. And I like that it lets you also take that data and turn it into a PDF that you can give to a doctor. And I wish that all of the pieces of the health app would let you do that. And anybody who's ever been in a doctor's appointment and tried to scroll through the app and get information out of it when you've been asked questions by the doctor, you can tell, like, it's not the best experience when you're trying to do it right there quickly.
Yes. I think that that's going to come.
I hope so.
I think that Apple is very, very keen on being able to have more and more data going directly from your iOS device to the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know they are because they're trying to do that for the VA. Now they want to be able mm-hmm. to put veteran health records on iPhones, and they're offering engineering resources to help make that happen. So we talked about that on an earlier show, and I'm hoping that that will help. That it's not just very easy to get information into the health app. I want it to also be easy to get that information back out again. So I'm hopeful that more usability will come to the health app over time. So I think that's going to be cool. Now, Andrew, I know you don't have a Series 4 Apple Watch, and you're hoping you were good enough this year that Santa brings you one.
I'm crossing my fingers.
But you do some fitness tracking or exercise tracking like other ways, correct?
Yeah, I just use an app on my phone. I started working out earlier this year, and I've had good results.
Which app are you using?
It's called Nike Training Club.
Oh, okay.
I really like it.
Okay. So I won't ask Brian for his favorite workout app.
yeah, I work a lot. I work a lot.
That makes sense. My current favorite, believe it or not, is Zombies Run. I'm not necessarily a zombie movie, zombie stuff kind of person. I'm not like into Walking Dead or anything like that, but it's really fun. And the story in it is really interesting. So I've been enjoying that. And it does help. They do have a couch to 5K. So if you're just getting started with getting with maybe dabbling in exercise, the couch to 5K is a pretty fun program. And they give you some fun stuff to listen to while you're doing that. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's pretty nifty. so we will have more about the ECG app as time goes on, and if we find out more interesting stuff or they make some useful improvements to it, we will talk about it here. We do have a little bit of time left, and I think there is a particular topic that Brian is just dying to discuss.
I want to hear all about the Amazon robot that attacks some employees with bear spray. Is that how it goes, Andrew?
Kind of. So, yeah. I admit my headline was a little clickbaity. It wasn't an attack. It was an accident.
You're such a tease.
It was like pretty serious.
Okay, well, what happened?
Cliffhanger. So basically, it just sounds like one of the robots accidentally ruptured this can of bear spray. And 24 people got sent to the hospital. One was in critical condition.
Wow.
30 other people were treated on the scene. Like, they had to call in 7 ambulances and the local fire department.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Jeevers. That's, I mean, man, that's serious. Do we know that the robot did it by accident?
That's what I've been reading. A quote from the official investigation said, an automated machine accidentally punctured a 9-ounce bear repellent can, releasing concentrated capsaicin, which of course can burn your skin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. When it's capsaicin, that's a bad scene. Yeah.
Somewhere out there, there's a bear, you know, like making a fist and double tapping its heart and pointing at that robot. I'm sorry, I'm not making light of that. I mean, the people were actually hurt by this. It was a serious accident, and you know, but yeah, double tap. Yeah.
Bear spray. Holy cow.
Respect. Like, yeah.
I think my takeaway was that Amazon has warehouses with bear spray in it. I guess that stands to reason. I've never attempted to buy bear spray from Amazon.
They have warehouses with all the things.
Right. But it never occurred to me that bear spray would be a thing you'd buy from Amazon. That's all.
Fair point.
Maybe that's just because I know where you're supposed to go buy bear spray. Because when you live in Eastern Oregon, in the days before the internet, you know, you just know, like, that comes from this particular place or from that particular place. And you don't, you didn't have a website to go to. So it never occurred to me that I would go on Amazon and just be like, yeah, prime me some bear spray. So.
Well, thank you for this foray into this story.
Yes, I hope.
If you do order it, you'll get one of those prime drones, but it'll accidentally drop the bear spray and it'll explode.
Yeah, that's what I need, is a driveway full of bear spray. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it would keep people from knocking on the door, I suppose. So maybe it has its advantages. Thank you for your coverage of that story, Andrew. We do wish everyone at Amazon well. I don't want anybody to be, especially the person in critical condition, I don't want anyone to be long-term, like, having been injured because of this. But I'm also curious how an automated machine punctured a can, but I guess that's probably a story for another day. So we will leave it for then. In the meantime, I want to thank you guys for being with me. Thank you so much for coming by, Brian.
Indeed. Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
And Brian and his sinus rhythm are off to go have some coffee now. Thank you, Andrew, for joining me today.
My pleasure. That was pretty fun.
And thanks for coming. Thanks for unofficially being the person behind Privacy Week. That's because I just said we should just make it Privacy Week. And then it turned into Privacy Week. So thanks for helping out with that. I've been here.
Like you mentioned something before, I didn't actually think of this. Like, as much as I talk about privacy.com, they aren't actually paying me to do that. Like, not even.
That's true.
They haven't even informally talked to me. I just think it's like a really good service.
Yeah, it's just really cool. So, yeah, not a sponsor. although I do have an email for an email address for them if they would like to be. In the meantime, if you enjoy the show, please swing by iTunes and give us a good review. It helps other people find us, and it helps us find other people as well. So with that, I'm going to bid everybody a wonderful weekend. I will talk to all of you again on Monday. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.